Dusky tongue, but slip-slap daft round simple speak. And people stare and mock while you go judge-jury. When monkeys cease to sing, though you carve slot in head and slip in so much coins that brainy gloop did ooze therefrom. Ah, I see. Yes. When e-magma so rage in stomach, yet only feeble birds fly out of gob. And when e-gloom so flicky switch to find u-bulb b-bulb that only suck the light from room. Oh, bloody hell. Then e-welcome. Hoy. Vac welcome. In blue jam. Blue jam.
Is always a bit of a nightmare. I just thought I'd hire a girl to hire ping pong balls out of her family. But her dad's really. Kids don't seem to mind.
The memory brought forth from a fifth of Hennessy. At the time, the 89 pay a visit me. Warm days in the cold beer chemistry. Eventually broken up by responsibilities and such. Sometimes it's ever mentally I reach the stuff. High school, I came out it. Cats were crowded, graduation got their names shouted. Go to Great America, me and my lady rock the same outfit. My niggas be fucking girls that she hang out with. Round in, God came out with peace of my love. I get over it, he said, dumb bitch. Every day the same, oh, with rainbow. Watching the sun twitch, cool as the mid drive. That in the trunk shit. After parties and Wendy's parking lot, unfamiliar faces got marked a lot. Showing off the hoes and drinks the road, got untied the box. That demo sort of stopped once AC got popped. Sister drugs and start thinking they thugs. We be at the Bismarck and the racquetball club. Plugged with Gucci promotions, so we got in free. Against the wall, me and my guys formed a colony. Rhonda be beating. Saved my day, dancing on speaker flames. Snapshot was born this way. 87th Street of Hyde Park was warring. Over gossip, Kimwood bras was pouring. Suited in three-quarter Jordan, pro models. And started coats out the back of beauty stops ballers. Bought a dope, put my name in their verse. EPMD, I would quote. Stolen leathers, I sell. Like a shot of boat behind the beat. I took my first shot of Henny and hit me in the chest like when no mom shot Benji. Same on the girl that left up Bendy around to either go do it or take it. We was bound to traveling like vice lords down to the state. I wanted to bring my lady around crew cause they were snakes. House parties was lit behind bars we come up. At him I did the hoopa dance with my thumbs up. We'll be right back.
body at McCormick Place. I don't draw with them, cause they was born to trace. At times I contemplate moving to a warmer place than the lake and skyline. Give me a warm embrace, reminding me of the point of parties Mo used to make. Six deep in the Hyundai, bumping Twilight Zone tapes. Come home late, calling broads, hang up on their mother. We went nowhere to trap after we would fight each other. To the room at the dunes, time to fake out. We eat at Giordano's and break out. Then everybody thought to make a spin. High rollers had the ATM blazer blend. The roads and death jeans we was taking in. Cranes and freight trains we was breaking in. Timber B, bass and mic down at IIT. Remembering numbers depended on our high beat. It's the deja vu, and I see bottles of gill. My man Seth Pass, I feel hollow but still.
As a frail old man in a wheelchair, trying to shake hands with an elephant.
Come in. Ah, yes, come in, sit down. Okay, so what seems to be the trouble?
It's a sore throat. Had it for about a week now.
Okay, just open your mouth for me. And say, ah. And again. I'm sorry, I'm finding this very difficult.
Sorry?
Well, you're really putting me off. It's your face.
Your face?
Well, it is really pretty ugly. I just can't think straight with that in front of me.
Right.
Looks like a mortal cow pat. I can't deal with this. You'll have to see Dr. Harris.
Dr. Harris?
Yeah. His eyesight's appalling. Sarah will sort you out in reception.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, bye. Hello, Sarah. Yeah, close your eyes. He's coming back out. Okay. Dear me.
Sometimes I get up feeling good, but greed gets me down. I try to think about the highs of freedom we found. When the business in your life don't sit with your soul, and they treat you like a child they need to control. The music that we make will heal. Thank you.
My attitude would be, no, you raped this woman in good faith. Did she tell you she had AIDS?
No.
Right. Well, I think you're entitled to compensation for that. So, with your permission, I'll start working on the case straight away.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Thanks very much.
Not at all.
Cheers.
I won't shake hands if you don't mind. Okay. Bye.
I had spent the night outside the door of the London dungeon in case I woke up and forgot I was supposed to be in there in the morning. It was my first job in 10 months. It was too cold to sleep, so I passed the hours clinging to a bollard. I thought it might be warm because of its internal bulb. An early morning rollerblader had just piled into my back because all the bollard's light was going up my coat. I crawled to where she lay twitching and stuck my hands up her shirt. "What are you doing?" she gasped. Something in her tone told me that warming up my hands was not a good enough reason. "Looking for biscuits," I said. I did warm up slightly as she kicked me around the dawn. Some hours later, two actors arrived. They were friends of Susie who had wangled me this job. I couldn't remember if I'd met them before, but they jammed a cigarette in my mouth. As they led me to the dungeon, they both introduced themselves as Paul and then started arguing about whether it was better to be workshopping with Polyakov or trapped in a burning car. They asked me what I'd been doing. "Directing traffic," I said, I thought rather wryly. "Great flyers," said the first Paul, and offered the opinion that though Traffic was a mediocre play, it had been very well promoted. In the dungeon, there was an office where a manager was sitting. He looked at me and said, "Who are you?" "Paychecks," I mumbled. I used to remember my name by looking at my paychecks. "Ah, you must be that friend of Susie's. May I suggest that the best role for our supporting artist would be the victim," piped Paul. "Good idea," said the manager. "Show him what to do." Paul and Paul took me to a dirty small room. They told me to strip and gave me a damp, blood-stained loincloth as they changed into leathery outfits and limbered up by cracking their knuckles and swinging their arms around. "By the way," said Paul, "you're a Jesuit." "Am I?" I asked. "Yes." "I'm pretty sure I'm not a Jesuit," but Paul continued. "You're called Anthony. You were tortured to death in 1563 for being a Jesuit and beating the Queen's champion at real tennis." "Is this a game?" I said. In a dark, stone-walled room, they told me to lie on a large wooden table. They bound my hands and feet with ropes that ran onto capstans at either end. I felt reasonably comfortable and considered a doze. Then a large group of people trooped in, and the Pauls suddenly turned nasty. They snarled and cursed and started cranking the ropes and shouting at me for being a Catholic and plotting treason against the crown. I had no idea I'd done any of these things. "Confess, you Romish pumpkin." They seemed very angry. "It was cold," I stammered, "but up her shirt it was warm." Some of the visitors laughed. Paul shouted, "See how the Corybant doth most gibberishly protest," and applied a pair of Elizabethan pliers to my groin. "Name your co-conspirators, deboshed papal wart." At the end of the first session, there was a ripple of applause, and the Pauls went for a smoke. "Why did you shout at me?" I said. "Trying to upstage people is not clever," said one. "Luckily, it wasn't at all amusing, and I contained you," said the other. "Can I get off now?" I wondered. but they were too busy shaking their heads and tutting the word Berkoff. When they came back, a larger crowd had gathered. The screaming and cranking started again, and I began to feel faint. They threatened to cut open my belly, unwind my entrails, and stuff them in my face unless I purged my filthy soul. As I thrashed and blubbed, I noticed a little girl in the audience gaping in innocent fascination. A dam broke quietly in my belly. Suddenly, words were flying from my mouth. "Stop the pain, I'll tell you everything," I shouted, remembering the time I had taken a Polaroid of my cock and put it in the math teacher's briefcase, causing him to be fired and then severely mauled while on remand in Brixton Prison. I confessed again that I had wandered into a children's park under the influence of Prozac and had beaten up an ostrich while several toddlers looked on and cried. "Please forgive me, for I know not what I do," I heard myself splutter, before finally describing how I had once broken into a farm and tarred and feathered a pig. The pall stopped. The audience stared. I begged the little girl to kill me. She left with her mother shortly afterwards. The other people went away. The manager wasn't pleased. He sent me off with a note for Susie pinned to my jacket. "Don't ever send rubbish like this again," it said. As I left the building and looked at the river, the Pauls told me I was the worst disaster since Stephen Fry.
Yeah. whack my bonobo.
Whack my bonobo. Whack it, whack my bonobo.
Push your balls up my nose. Cackle my glasses. Cackle my glasses. Cackle my glasses. More feeble granddad. More feeble granddad. Introducing to glass of dinner.
Hello! Disagree with my balls. Disagree! Pretty argue! Object!
Shit your leg off. Shit your leg off.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. Wait, is spunk coming out green? God, I love it when spunk comes out green. Yeah, get it green. Come on, green spunk. Come on, green. Green. Come on, make it green. Come on, make it come out green. Come on, green. Green.
Oh, yeah.
your boots and let it all get loose.
Oh, yeah, my goodness.
a family business. I run it jointly with my husband and our daughter Patsy. The past 6 or so years has also been very involved, taking calls, offering advice, and taking part in the whole business side of things.
Basically, it's a helpline service for people who steal children.
Help I wish we'd had when we stole Patsy. She was 2.5 months old. We hadn't the foggiest what to do.
Hello, Patsy Warren. Okay, and how long have you had her? And she's still asking for money.
The first thing is, make the child to reject the parents that you've taken it from.
Something like, they said they didn't want to see you anymore, they said they hated you, that's usually...
And then we can encourage the parents who've just stolen the child from the original parents to pretend to be the original parents. Yeah. With Patsy, we made masks from enlarged photos of her original parents, and then wear the mask, cut a little bit off each day until your face has replaced the photograph.
You can usually get a photo from the local paper, can't you? Running a story on the problem.
Yes, okay, well then you've got to just convince her that they don't exist.
And the third thing you can do is play with the child's mind a little bit more, just to give them the idea that their original parents are an unreality, that they just imagined the whole thing.
Have you tried LSD?
When we first started, our methods were very crude, weren't they?
Well, you did me.
That's what I just dropped you on your head, didn't I?
You ended up smashing you against the bar. I'm very glad I dropped you when I did.
Well,
I don't remember
actually. No, you've forgotten that, have you?
Hello, Mrs. Thatcher. It's the police.
Often, we have to talk to the original parents to find out about the child. Special needs.
I did have a couple of questions in case we find little Martin. Yes. He wears glasses, I think, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. What sort? Maybe we should have those. Could I come round and pick them up tomorrow? Oh, good.
Sometimes they're so all over their shop, you'd strike gold.
Oh yes, I'll give you everything.
A cot? Has that got a mobile with it?
This is a great money-saving tip for anyone who's thinking of stealing a child, is get the original parents to supply you with all of the baby clothes.
But that's a risky thing. You ran into trouble, didn't you?
Yes, I had to get in touch with some original parents once and... they became rather suspicious of me. So what we did was we broke into their house and we jammed a child's pelvis down the toilet.
I
had a friend who was working in the Ethiopian family at the time. And we succeeded in getting those parents put away. So that dealt with them.
And how did you find out you were stolen?
I found out when I was 8 and Mum and Dad here told me, and...
How did you feel?
I felt a bit funny at first, but sort of, I like being different really. And I just told my first boyfriend straight out that I'd been stolen.
What was
the joke? He really wanted to sleep with me.
We would prefer it if Patsy were to steal a child rather than get a child in that way.
Yeah. We're hoping that one day soon she'll go out and steal us a grandchild of our own. But,
I was 2 years younger than you. Mm-hmm. I told you.
Don't believe it too late.
People are doing it older nowadays, though.
Mm. Well, you'll regret it.
Thank you.
Now, first of all, remind me, how do I say your name again?
My name's Andrew Morton.
And that's it?
I hope so, yes.
Okay, let's look at the book. New edition, here it is. First of all, its size. It actually looks bigger than it is, which is quite a crafty move. Was that the intention?
Well, it is a bit. It's a lot bigger than the original one.
Yes, but it does look bigger than it is as well. I mean, I'm not comparing it to the original. I'm just saying, here's a book, you see it in the shop, and it actually looks bigger than it is.
Well, I'm glad you think that.
Was that the intention?
No, the intention was just to print a book of her life.
I mean, two-thirds of the way through. Having thought it's bigger than it is, you come to realise it's bigger than you actually thought it was. It is carefully constructed, isn't it?
Well, I think it's constructed in a...
I suppose the tragedy is
you have to be what?
Now, looking at the way the book works, you seem to put your finger on things.
Well, what I've tried to do,
let me give you an example. The tectonic plates which underpin society, having shifted culturally, socially, and politically in the previous few years. Mm. Now, that describes exactly what had happened after Diana's death. So many people struggled to put their finger on that. Was it something you worked hard on, or did it just come out? I mean, how on earth?
Well,
the tectonic plates which underpin society, having shifted culturally, socially, and politically in the previous few years.
Well, I mean, several people have made a similar observation.
Well, they've made a bosh. Generally, quite silly.
Well, to my mind, it seems that we've seen a major shift in our society.
So it's to your mind when we look back to, say, 1982, that this says, hey, wait a minute, things are actually rather different.
Yes, I mean, I see the change quite profoundly, that you can see, if you look at the news footage.
It is the tectonic base that underpins society that has shifted culturally, socially, and politically.
I mean, I felt that quite profoundly.
And you thought, it's the tectonics here. The history is important, isn't it?
And
what would it be like if we didn't have history?
Well, I think we'd have a rather shallow society. I mean,
well, you're a historian. I mean, what is it? Is it the facts? Is it the events? Or is it the words? Or the feeling of the words? Or the evidence?
I think it's the
evidence. Which of these is the first?
I think the first thing is the evidence.
You can have evidence without actually any events.
Well, evidence about the events. Right. What I mean is that you need...
What if events defeat evidence? Now, in the balance, I suppose, and particularly away from the heat of, say, 2 months ago, I think the balance is that Andy Morton is a decent guy. What I want to know is how you feel about other people who are feeding off the same carcass. The people who make computer games, like At Last Chase, where you are playing a papalazzo, chasing a car through a tunnel. Subtitle of the game, Snap the Dying Bitch, you know.
Does that really exist?
Well, it's on the internet, isn't it?
Good grief.
Guess which country that comes from?
America.
Right.
Well, I just hope that nobody buys it, that's what I hope.
But I mean, there are people in clubs. There are people in clubs, you know. There's a Diana zombie doll, I mean.
And this. I mean, I don't see where you compare my book with.
What's your moral position on Last Chase?
Well, I mean. I find them very abhorrent, because all you're doing is exploiting somebody's death for that.
I just wonder if I could read a section of the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Done? Who's this done?
It's just longer than I thought, actually. Hang on. I'm reading it now. I'm nearly at the end.
Oh, he's reading it.
I need quiet when I'm doing this, otherwise I get put off. I had to start again, though, because you spoke while I was reading it. Andrew?
What?
Thank you. There's still a noise there. You're still doing a kind of
Were you doing something with your pen?
I'm absolutely silent.
I'm just getting down to break her heart, okay. Very good, nearly there. Good boy. Oh, hang on, little creak there, hang on. Just do that last sentence again. Good, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ashley.
Straight to the face.
saying there's any doubt that you did murder him. What I am saying is that you have grounds for a case against your mother because of that. I think you can sue your mother for not aborting you. Because if she had aborted you, I hardly think you would have been able to commit this brutal murder.
Right.
So, if you want, I shall commence work on that case straight away. Not at all.
Upset by what you saw. So we can seek compensation from any of the crash participants who behaved in such a way as to cause that upset. Did you see any of them making any effort to hide their wounds?
No.
Well, one man actually died in front of you in a disgusting and uninhibited way. So you can sue the state for that. And comparably evil, two of the victims then re-horrified you by appearing on television that evening.
Well, yes, they did. Yeah.
Yes, and I think it's very inconsiderate. So, why don't we start work on this for you tomorrow morning?
Okay, right, thanks very much.
Not at all.
Therefore I am alive.
empty tongue, but slip-slap daft round simple speak, and people stare and mock while you go jump. When monkeys cease to sing, though you carve slot in head and slip in so much coins that brainy gloop did ooze therefrom. Ah, I see. Yes. When e-magma so rage in stomach, yet only feeble birds fly out to gob. And when e-glooms so flicky switch, to find u-bulb b-bulb that only suck the light from room. Oh, bloody hell. Then e-welcome. Oi. Vac welcome in blue jam, blue jam.
What about you signing a copy of the book, dedicating it to William and Harry, and we'd send the book to Eton to be presented to the boys by a Diana lookalike?
Well, that's